Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, we pray that you would be with us today as we consider your word and what it might mean for our own lives. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A possible sermon title for the second story in our gospel reading for today might be The Interrupted Funeral. I'm not sure, but I'm guessing that it is an almost universal unwritten rule that you don't interrupt funerals. It's a matter of respect for the one who has died, as well as for the family who is grieving. There might be some exceptions, maybe a sudden storm or other natural disaster, a sudden illness of another member in the family. But although a funeral might be interrupted, it is almost certain that it will finally be finished. In our gospel story today, Jesus interrupts a funeral. At the time of Jesus, for the Jews, it wasn't just that you didn't interrupt the funeral. The Jews also had laws stating that if you touched a person who had died, you would be unclean. And that in turn would mean that you would have to go through special cleansing rituals before you could return to the temple for worship or before you could have any contact with other people again. Jesus interrupts the funeral anyway. He touches the stretcher that the dead boy is being carried on. He stops the funeral procession. And then he raises the boy from the dead and gives him alive back to his mother. This interrupted funeral is not finished. Death gives way to life. In a story from 1 Kings, God gives a widow's only son new life through the prophet Elijah. And in Galatians, Paul gives testimony to why he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He speaks of a time when he was persecuting Christians and trying to destroy the early Christian church. But Jesus interrupts Paul's journey on the road to Damascus and turns Paul to a new way of life, not only for himself, but for many others. Jesus also interrupts our lives to give us new life. You might have noticed in this story that the son was an only son. In that period of time, you could almost say that sons were the widow's life. For the sons were the ones who would care for their mothers in their old age. So in giving this widow back her only son, Jesus was giving her new life as well. Jesus gives physical life, but he also gives us spiritual life. And this is most obvious in the story of Paul in Galatians, who goes from non-belief to belief in a very dramatic way on that road to Damascus. Consider also the story we mentioned briefly from 1 Kings. The widow responds with these words after her son was raised. Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true. So here we see belief and confidence in God. In this story from Luke, the people respond to the miracle of Jesus raising the boy to life by saying, God has visited his people, and they give glory to God. In each story, along with the giving of physical life, comes the realization in the people that God is with them. God is the one giving life. What about us? Think about your life. What has the Lord given back to you that you thought was dead or lost to you? Maybe it is your faith. Maybe your faith was once at a point where it was almost lost, and God gave that back to you. God gives life to us through faith in Jesus Christ, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, through our worship services, through His Word. God continually reminds us of His promises. God reminds us of His love. He reminds us of His forgiveness for all of our sins. God reminds us of the promise of eternal life, and so He breathes new life back into us and into our faith. So we give thanks to God for those times when God breathes new life into us. Another question we might ask ourselves is this: where is there yet in our lives that needs our Lord's intervention or interruption in order that new life can come into that situation? Maybe it's our job or our family life. Maybe it's a relationship with another person. Maybe it's our personal devotional life. Maybe it's this whole situation with the virus. Whatever it is, we pray that God will indeed interrupt to give us new life. Another question we might ask comes from a Bible study on these verses. The question is, how does the power of Jesus over death affect the way that you live your life? Jesus Christ is God's word to us. Jesus suffered death on the cross for us. He also rose from the dead in order to give us new life, not only now, but in eternity. Jesus Christ, God's word to the world, is the hope of the world. Our Christian hope is not an empty wish, not like when we say we hope we'll receive a specific item for a birthday gift. But even as we say it, we know because of the cost of that particular item or the unavailability of it, there really is no chance that that will happen. Rather, the Christian hope is an expectation that something will happen. And as Christians, we can have this hope and expectation because of what God has already done for us in Jesus. Our hope is not empty. Our hope is based on the promises and actions of God. Because of this hope, because of the power of Jesus over death, we live knowing that Christ is present in our lives through His Holy Spirit, and we live trusting in God's promise of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Because of the power of Jesus over death, whatever is in our lives that still needs a word or a touch from our Lord to give it new life, we can have confidence that we can turn to Jesus. And as one song says, He will turn our sorrows into joy. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, now interrupt those things in our lives that need your touch. Look into our lives, our hearts. You can hear and see the needs we have, the desires of our hearts. You can see the brokenness that is there. Touch our lives and make us whole. Fill us with love and compassion for one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.